All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel 1. We have looked at Isaiah as we are continuing through the books of the Bible and taking the next book as we go, starting in Genesis and going all the way through Revelation. And in the process, we have looked at Isaiah and Jeremiah, and now we come to the third of the what are called the major prophets, and that brings us to the book of Ezekiel. Week before last, but the Wednesday before that, we looked at the book of Lamentations, and we saw Jeremiah weeping over the destruction of Jerusalem, and now tonight we turn the page and we come to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a lengthy book. It has a lot of picture, a lot of, allegory, a lot of prophecy. But it is done in a vision form, and there's a lot of picture involved in it, and it's a difficult book to read. But I want to take this first chapter tonight and hopefully give you enough of a background so that you can continue on and read the rest of the book and realize what this great man of God was saying. Now, it's real important that you listen very carefully to the beginning, to the introduction that I'm going to give you tonight, in order to see why this book is here and to see how it fits in with the rest of the prophets. You had Isaiah. And then 100 years later, you had Jeremiah, and now shortly after Jeremiah's death, Ezekiel comes on the scene, and I'll show you that here in just a moment. He was not the brokenhearted man that Jeremiah was, but nonetheless, was a man of God, and God greatly used him. And let's begin reading in chapter 1 and verse 1. And I'd like to read the whole chapter to you, but for the sake of time, I won't do that. We'll read a few verses, and then we'll go on. But let's begin with verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw," what's the next word?
Visions
of God. Now notice that. It does not say that I saw God. He said I saw visions of God. That's key. That's very important. All right, you will also notice in verse 1, he says, "I was among the captives." So, if you'll remember, Jeremiah started preaching that judgment was coming, and they would not listen to Jeremiah's message. And he kept thundering that truth, and he kept saying it over and over and from various and sundry angles, and nobody would listen. And they eventually arrested him, and you'll remember they threw him down in the pit, and when he was an old man, they threw him down in a pit, and he sunk in the mire. And you'll remember that the king then felt sorry for him, and they put some old rags together and dropped him down, and he put them under his arms, and they pulled him up. But Jeremiah stood and watched as the Babylonians came, an old man. He's now well up in years, and he stood and he watched as Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed and the walls were destroyed and the city was burned and the young people were taken captive. Well, Ezekiel was one of those captives. He was one of those men or young people that was gathered up and taken back to Babylon. And so we see in verse 1, I was among the captives by the river Chebar. Verse 2, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, now listen very carefully as I read this. He says, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. Not the south, the north. Okay? A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. That's real important. Mark that in your Bible. Out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces. Four faces. And every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they had their faces and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they had a face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they had not the left. All right? Not the left side. You'll notice that that was specified. The face of the lion was on the right side. Now, the right side is always the side of strength, of power. All right? So they had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they had, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They also had the face of an eagle. All right, now, think with me for just a moment. The Lord Jesus went to the cross, died, was buried, resurrected the third day. 40 days later, he ascended back to heaven to take a seat at the what? Right hand of God the Father, place of power, place of authority. All right, verse 11. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go. Notice that, whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. That's quite a vision, isn't it? All right, now I'm going to skip a bunch of verses and go to verse 26. It says, and above the firmament. Now, what's the firmament? Huh? The earth, all right? And so here is Ezekiel in the first part here. He's by the river Chebar. He's on the firmament. He's here. He's on earth, all right? But now look at verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. In other words, a rainbow. So look at it again. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard a voice of one that spake. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much that we have a Bible and we can trust our Bibles. And Father, that's what brings us here tonight. We desire to learn your word. And I pray that you will bless tonight. I pray you'll help me to get all this in. And Lord, I pray that it'll be clear and that we will realize that you're in complete control, that, Lord, you're the God of heaven. You're the eternal God of heaven. And your word is faithful and true. You cannot go back on any aspect of it. And Lord, this book contains a myriad of prophecies, and each one will be fulfilled to its minutest detail. And so I pray you'll help us to have the hope in our hearts as we look at Ezekiel that Ezekiel had when he saw the vision that you gave him. And so just open our understanding now, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you will look at verse 1, you will see that Ezekiel was 30 years old when he was called of God and when he was given this vision. It was at age 30, you might remember, when, according to the law, an Old Testament priest started his service as a priest. You could not be in the priesthood until you were 30 years of age. Now, you will also remember that the Lord Jesus began his earthly ministry when he was 30 years of age. So Ezekiel points out he was 30 when the Lord called him. However, there was no temple for Ezekiel to work in. The temple had been destroyed by the time he was 30 years old. The temple was destroyed. So instead of working as a priest in the temple, he was called to a prophetic ministry. You will also notice in verse 2 that he began his prophetic ministry in the fifth year of the Babylonian captivity. That means that for the first 25 years of Ezekiel's life, he was in Jerusalem when Jeremiah was preaching as God's prophet. You with me on that? 25 years, He lived in Jerusalem. He was 25 years old when the captivity took place. So for 25 years, he has sat under the ministry of Jeremiah. Now, I want you to think about that. From his earliest childhood and through his formative years and through his impressionable years of being a teenager, and even from 18 to 25, he was influenced by the great prophetic ministry of the prophet Jeremiah. And that stands to reason because Ezekiel's prophecy was basically just an extension of Jeremiah's. You had Isaiah, and then you had Jeremiah, and then you had Ezekiel. Isaiah, way back here, 200 years before the captivity, Jeremiah said, if you don't repent, judgment's coming. And then Jeremiah came along after Isaiah died, and Jeremiah said, now you didn't listen to Isaiah, but you better listen to me, because if you don't, I'm your last hope. Judgment's coming. And they didn't listen to him. And here came the Babylonians. And now 5 years after the captivity, 5 years later, here is Ezekiel called of God when he was 30 years of age. So he's 5 years into the captivity. He is among the captives. And God gives him this vision. And it is basically an extension of all that Jeremiah said was going to happen. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, both saw and spoke of the corruption of the people, on the judgments of God upon that corruption, and then spoke prophetically about a brighter day that was coming. That is real key to understanding the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, for that matter. Both of them spoke of the corruption, God's judgment on that corruption, and then spoke prophetically of a better day, a brighter day that was coming. Now, as I said a moment ago, Ezekiel did not have the compassion and the tears of Jeremiah. And there may be a reason for that. It may be because Israel was still a nation under Jeremiah. The temple was still there under Jeremiah. There was still hope under Jeremiah. But when God called Ezekiel, it was 5 years after the fact. And, you can get hardened quite quickly under difficult circumstances. And so it's not to demean Ezekiel's ministry that I say that he was not the man of compassion and tears that Jeremiah was. I'm just simply making the point that he was God's man, but the circumstances were different. But please understand that his message was basically just a continuation of what Jeremiah had started. The Jews were in captivity. They were in Babylon when Ezekiel began his ministry. So his message was limited to the exiles, to those who lived along the banks of the Chebar River. Now, the Chebar River is thought to have been a man-made canal that was built by the Babylonians to direct water from the Tigris into the city. Nobody is really 100% sure, but that's what it is thought. That's what some of the rabbis had mentioned in their writings. But point is, Ezekiel spoke to the exiles. Yet it is evident that through them he spoke to all Israel. And that's evident because we have the book of Ezekiel in our Bible. All right, so while he spoke not to the nation per se, but to the exiles in Babylon, he was nonetheless speaking through them to the nation. And he distinctly affirms in the course of his prophecy that the application of the truths that were given to him from God were indeed for all men. So he spoke through the exiles to Israel, but through Israel to men of all nations and of all times. We need to know the prophecy of Ezekiel. Much of it is yet to be fulfilled. It has to do with the tribulation period. It has to do the new heaven and the new earth, as I'll show you in just a little bit. So let me say it this way. Ezekiel saw a window. And when he did, he saw through that window, and God showed him his present world around him in which he lived, but God also allowed him to see beyond the present and enabled him to see the eternal. Both ends, going both directions, going back in time and going forward in time. If you'll remember, in Ezekiel 28, we have that great prophecy concerning the king of Tyre. And if you go read Ezekiel 28, you will find out that the king of Tyre is the devil, Lucifer. You know, folks, please understand, Obama is not running the affairs of this country. He is not the king. The devil is running the affairs of this country. All right? Mr. Putin over in Russia is not the king of Russia. In Ezekiel 28, you have the king of Tyre and you have the prince of Tyre. In Ezekiel 28, the prince was a man. He was a human being. His name was Baal the second, the prince of Tyre. Now, which is higher, king or prince? The king. And Ezekiel 28 identifies the king of Tyre as Lucifer, that fallen angel, the devil. And it is the devil who was running Tyre, not the prince, Ethbaal the second. He was just the figurehead. Obama is just the figurehead. Now, granted, the devil is running this world. Now, when Ezekiel looked through that glass, he looked back and he saw the devil being cast out of heaven. He saw the Garden of Eden. And he saw the devil in the garden tempting Eve and tempting Adam. He saw all that. Read it, Ezekiel 28. Go read it. I told you to read this book before you came. But it's there. So here is Ezekiel looking through this glass, through this window, and he was able to look back. But he was also able to look forward. And he saw in chapter 38 the nation of Israel as a bunch of bones that had decayed and all the flesh was off of them. And when he looked at that valley full of dry bones, he just saw dry bones laying there. But as he watched the dry bones, suddenly the dry bones got sinew and muscle, and then they stood, and they were a mighty army that God used for his own purposes. So he saw the certainty of this judged of God, reprobate nation being one day restored to be a mighty force in the world. Now, remember that Ezekiel lived in Jerusalem for 25 years and he saw its declining days. He heard Jeremiah's condemnation of both the spiritual leaders and the political leaders. He watched as the people rejected Jeremiah's message and flatly refused to repent of their sins. And he watched them as they just plunged headfirst into judgment. Now, that leads us to the eternal truths that are found in this great book of prophecy. And here it is. Ezekiel is a revelation of the reason behind the hope that is found in Ezekiel's heart. This book, as difficult as it is to read and to understand, is a book full of hope. It is a book full of hope that God is in control. Ezekiel is a revelation of the reason behind the hope that is found in Ezekiel's heart. Now remember, he saw it collapse. He saw Jerusalem and Judah collapse. He's now 5 years into it. He is in a foreign land, 500 miles away from home. He is a slave, a servant. He is held under the thumb of a reprobate king and a reprobate people. He is, no doubt, like all the rest of them were, discouraged. He sees no way out. He sees no hope for his people. He sees no hope to get back home. And 5 years into it, just long enough for it to all settle in around him and depress him good, all of a sudden, he gets this vision from God. And this vision from God is almost like God saying, "Hey, Ezekiel, look here, I know things look bad, but I sent Isaiah and warned you, and I sent Jeremiah and I warned you, but you wouldn't listen. You the people wouldn't listen. And so I had no alternative but to judge. Now I've judged you. But Ezekiel, you'll not live to see all this. But let me show you a window. Let me have you look through that window, and I'm going to show you exactly who's in charge. I'm going to show you that I know about the devil, and it was the devil that influenced Judah and led Judah, tempted Judah away from me, and the judgment is upon the people because of the devil and his influence. Now they had a choice and they followed the devil, didn't follow me. So I had no choice but to judge him. But Ezekiel, look through that window and I'm going to show you the king of Tyre, the devil, is one day going to be judged and we win. That's his point. All right? That's his point. You're standing here now by the river Chebar. You're discouraged. You're depressed. You see no hope. Wait a minute. Let me show you this valley of dry bones. I got a picture here I want to show you. I'm going to one day fulfill all the promises that I made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David. I'm going to fulfill those promises. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do with Abraham's seed. And you watch, Ezekiel, one of these days, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to put my finger on those old dry bones and they're going to rise up. And boy, in 1948, they did. They did. And so here's Ezekiel, discouraged, depressed. What now? And God says in the first chapter, let me show you something, Ezekiel. Let me show you something. And from this point on, from verse 2 on, where he gets the vision, from verse 2 all the way to the end of the book, it is a message of hope that victory will one day be secured. Folks, I know, listen, Leanne texted me this afternoon, and she said, bad news day. And I'm going to be honest with you, I can't hardly watch it anymore. I'm so discouraged. I just want to throw up my hands and say, is there nobody in Congress that has a spine? Is there none? And evidently there's not. And I know how Ezekiel felt. But you read this book of Ezekiel and you realize, wait a minute, here's why this is in the book. Here's God's message to Ezekiel. God's on the throne. And if you'll remember, that was the same message that God gave Isaiah. And that was the same message that God gave Jeremiah. And now, here's Ezekiel in the heat of all of this oppression. And God gives him a message. God gives him a vision. So all through this book, Ezekiel saw things in this vision that gave him hope that what he and his fellow exiled Jews were facing in Babylon was one day going to change. So what did he see in the vision that gave him such great hope? All right, here it is. Here it is. You ready? He saw God. He saw God. I want you to look at verse 4. I want you to look at it. It says in verse 4, he saw a whirlwind coming out of the north. Do you remember Psalm 48, 1 and 2? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Out of the north came this whirlwind, this swirling tornado of fire, and it swept out of the north. And a ball of fire, swirling and bright in color. Look at verse 5. The key word here in verse 5 is the little word likeness. Look at it. Look at it. It says, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness. The likeness. The little word likeness tells us that this whole description of what he saw here was a parable. It was a picture. It was the likeness of. Wasn't a real thing, but it was a likeness of. He saw a picture in this vision. But now the picture is a picture of something. Okay? A parable, a picture, is something placed alongside of something else in order to explain that something else. It is a picture intended to interpret something, which apart from it might not be clearly understood. If I said to you, I want to show you a picture of my wife. My wife is not here. She's in Florida tonight. But I want you to know who she is if you ever see her in the future. And so I reach in my pocket and I say, here's a picture of her. Now, it's not her, but it's a picture of her. But it's not her. Now, she's in Florida. I can stand there and kiss that picture all I want. Doesn't help me a bit. I need the real thing to kiss. You know what I'm saying? That picture is, it's just that. It's a picture. All right? Now, that's the key to understanding this whirlwind that Ezekiel saw coming out of the north, coming out of heaven for him to see. What he saw here was a vision of the essence and the nature of Jehovah God. And what specifically did he see? Well, we learn in verse 5 that he saw the likeness of four living creatures. Now remember, he did not see God. Let me remind you, no man has seen God and lived. Okay? But he saw a vision of Jehovah God in the form of a likeness. What he saw represented God. It was like God. It was a picture of God. And when he saw what he saw, he understood that it represented Jehovah God. Also, what he saw began on the earth, but it did not end there. You with me? He's on the river Chebar. He's on earth. And all of a sudden, this thing comes at him. But read on in the chapter, and you'll find out that it does not stay on the earth. It went up to heaven. And that's what we read in verse 26 through verse 28. So when they got to heaven, he saw a throne. And look at verse 26. On that throne, he saw a man. You with me? On the throne, he saw a man. He saw the four living creatures on earth, and then those four living creatures swirled up to heaven, and he saw a man, and that man that he saw was the Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnate Son of God was on the throne, and he was ruling, and he was reigning on a throne which is where he deserves to be and which is where he should be. Now remember, Ezekiel's in captivity. He is with an unrepentant, rebellious bunch of people, but seeing this vision, now you know the reason for his hope being renewed. Here he is, and he sees this vision, and he realizes, wait a minute. This is not about me. This is not about us. This is about God. This is about God's Redeemer, God's Son. And God shows him through the window. He looks all the way down. God shows him all the way down. And when you get to the end of it, there's Jesus sitting on the throne. Wow. That kind of gives you a little hope, doesn't it? All right? Kind of gives you a little hope. And so the permanent eternal values of Ezekiel is its unveiling of the essential facts of the nature and essence of God. Now, let's come back to the earth. I got to move on because I got to get you this part. Let's leave down the road and heaven and let's come back to the earth. Okay? Let's come back to Ezekiel's day. And I got to show you something here. You got your Bible open to chapter 1? All right. I want you to take out a piece of paper, the bulletin, a scrap piece of paper, just something that you can write four little simple things on, because I want to show you what and who Ezekiel saw. Let's come back to the earth. In verse 5, we learn that he saw four living creatures surrounded by wheels moving in every direction, with all of it existing in an atmosphere that was driven by an energy that he says in verse 12 was a spirit. Now, what What does all this mean? All right? Let's go back to verse 10. It says, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. All right, now I'm going to switch the order for a second, just to make the point. I want you to write down this word. Number one, I want you to write lion first. Then under that, number two, I want you to write the word ox, O-X. Then number three, I want you to write the word man. And then number four, I want you to write the word eagle. All right, now, outside of each one, put an equals sign, all right? Like the lion, and then an equal sign. The lion is the symbol of supremacy. He's the king of the animal world. He's the king of the jungle, all right? The lion, all the way through the scripture, a picture, a symbol of supremacy. Ox, symbol of service. Service. The man. Now this one you're not going to get until I explain it, but I'm going to give it to you. I'll explain it in a second. The man was the symbol of manifestation. I'll explain it in a minute. You'll see it in a minute. And then number four, the eagle was the symbol of mystery. Mystery. So, lion, supremacy. Ox, service. Man, manifestation. And eagle, mystery. Now, the question is this. This is what he saw. This was this four living creature that he saw. All right? The question is, what are these picturing about God? All right, now look at what you just wrote. Supremacy suggests kingship. All right? Service suggests sacrifice. The ox was a symbol of the servant. Manifestation suggests the unveiling of life at its best. And mankind was the symbol of the man. And then mystery suggested the unfathomable, the incomprehensible, and the eagle is always a symbol of deity. Now, if in these prophecies of Isaiah, if you remember, we saw the throne. That's what Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw, remember? He saw the throne. Isaiah's message was, hey, God's still on the throne. All right? So if in the prophecies of Isaiah, we saw the throne, and in Jeremiah, we discovered the activities of the one who sits on the throne. In Ezekiel, we have the unveiling of the nature of the essence of the one that's sitting on the throne. Ezekiel saw in his vision God himself. He saw him manifest in the midst of a strange revolving whirlwind, a wheel that burned with fire and spun around, going up all the way to heaven. And what he saw unveiled to him the very nature of God. Now you say, well, Pastor, how do you know this creature was a parable of the very essence and nature of God that was revealed to him? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Take your Bible and go over to the book of Revelation. chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Are you getting all this? All right, look at chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. This is a picture of the rapture. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a what? A throne will I declare. That's what Ezekiel saw. Right? So John has the vision of the revelation. He sees the Lord coming in the clouds and the church being raptured up. And when we all get to heaven, the first thing John sees is a throne. Wow. He doesn't say, well, we got there and I looked around, there were teeming millions of people. No, he saw a throne. He saw a throne. Read on. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Wonder who that is. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow. Wait a minute. Didn't we read about... Hold on there just a minute. Go back, flip here where you can go back and forth. Look at chapter 1 again. Look at verse 27. 127. And I saw as the color of amber and as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward. And I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it was it had a brightness round about it. So he is seeing this radiant light. And then in verse 28, he says, as the appearance of the bow. John, you saw the same thing Ezekiel saw? Yeah, there's only one throne. There's only one throne, and there's only one God sitting on that throne. And it's not Allah. All right? Go back to Revelation. Keep where you can bounce. He said... let's see. He said, there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now watch this. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 what? Beasts. Living creatures. 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. In other words, just like Ezekiel's, they had a face going this way, and a face going that way, and a face going that way, and a face going that way. They were full of eyes. They could see in any direction. Omniscient. Omnipresent. They could see it all. They knew it all. They knew what was happening. Read on. And the first beast was like a what? Look at your list. You see why I switched them? Look at your list. The first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, an ox. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Wow! Could you have Could you have done, could you have written this? Only God could do this. You say, well, that seems like a coincidence to me. Well, I figured somebody would say that, so let me give you more proof. How many Gospels are there? Four. What are they? Very good. All right, now you remember, because we studied this on Wednesday nights for about 3 years, you remember that each one of these books, we have four of them because each one of them presents a different perspective upon the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, you got four Gospels. Look at your list. Matthew presents Jesus in his supremacy as king. Look at your list. Mark presents Christ in his sacrificial service as the servant. Luke presents Jesus in his perfect manifestation as the Son of Man. And John presents Jesus in his infinite and fathomless mystery as God in the flesh. And when you have seen the four, you have seen one. Isn't that awesome? Now, if you go back to Ezekiel and you go back to chapter 1, Ezekiel looked up beyond the earth into heaven, and when he did, he saw a throne, and on that throne he saw the likeness of a man. And today, when we look beyond the firmament through eyes of faith, our eyes see the same thing. Now I got to do one more thing before I let you go. Go to chapter 48. No, Ezekiel 48. If you find Revelation 48, you're doing good. All right, you got the last book or last chapter? All right, look here. We are way past time. Look here. All right, watch. I hope the guys are long-winded up on the hill tonight. All right, look here. Watch. Here's Ezekiel. He's looking through the window. And God shows him past and he shows him the future. And he's looking down the future. He sees Israel's enemies judged, just like Isaiah, just like Jeremiah. He sees them judged, all the nations that form the crescent around Israel. He sees them all judged, just like Jeremiah and Isaiah. He sees the nation rise up out of the valley of dry bones. All right? But it doesn't end there. He sees Christ sitting on the throne and the millennial reign. Then he goes, 1,000 years go by, and he sees the devil cast into perdition, into hell, into the lake of fire. But it doesn't end there. He then sees the new heaven and the new earth. Oh my. Ezekiel, God showed him everything that's coming, right up to eternity. And here's how the book ends. Look at this. He's talking about the city. He's talking about the new heaven, the new earth. And then look at verse 35. Bluntly, it says, it was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. You know, I'm sure when he was standing by the river Chebar, where's the Lord? What happened to us? Where'd he go? Man. But comfort comes to his heart because God says, look through the window here, Ezekiel. And he does. And when he does, he looks all the way down to the end. And when you get to the end, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And that's Ezekiel.